I'd like to welcome you to the November 4th, 2011 Planning Commission meeting, and I now call it to order. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Chairman Brooks.
Present.
Commissioner Beck.
Here.
Day. Norby.
Here.
Ballinger.
Here.
Reese.
Present.
Woods.
Here.
Thank you. During these proceedings, I'd like to request that all cell phones, beepers, et cetera, either be turned off or set to vibrate. Audio recordings of this hearing are available online. For those of you who are not familiar with these proceedings, speaker slips are located outside the door in the hearing room and in the corridor. Fill out a green slip if you support the proposed project on today's agenda, or a pink slip if you oppose the project. Also, white slips are available if you neither oppose or support the project, but you want to make a statement on it. After you complete the slips, please give it to our secretary seated to my left. Now, these hearings are recorded, so I'd like to request when you come to the podium, please state your name and give your address so that if someone was to hear who was here and who said what later, they know who it was. So you won't come up here incognito. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak unless the chair decides otherwise. And please try not to be repetitious. If someone has delivered your message and did it in an adequate way, it's all right to refuse to speak, and we'll move on. Commissioner Reese, would you please explain our timing system?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the podium are a series of lights. There's a green light that comes on when your time starts, your 3 minutes. At 1 minute remaining, the yellow lights come on. And when your time is expired, the red lights will start flashing. That is a sign to wrap up your proceedings and take your seat. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Reese. If you have documents that you like viewed while you are making your presentation, there's a table here in front to the right of the podium that you can place them on, and the secretary will be able to fix it so you will view it on these project and review it on the screen. Information concerning how to appeal any decision made on projects today can be found on the last page of the agenda. Are there any members of the public wishing to discuss a topic that's not listed on today's agenda? If so, you may come forward. It's not being any. Documents to be considered as evidence should have been filed with the secretary no later than 4 o'clock last Wednesday. However, if you have such documents and you are going to speak, it's all right to go through, mention, and pass them out at this time. But you need to understand if they were not received by that time, we would have not had time to go over them. Staff, are there any requests for continuance?
Chairman Brooks, no, there are no requests for continuance.
Are there any requests for continuance from the audience? Okay. We'll begin today's hearing with the formation of our consent calendar. Staff, what items should be considered for consent?
Chairman Brooks, items 3, 5, and 6 are possible candidates for consent agenda.
I'll move consent on 3, 5, and 6.
Second.
It's been moved and second that item 3, 5, 6 be accepted on consent calendar. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Okay, I look at you and show a hand, starting with my left.
Vote. I vote
Yes.
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 For the record, all seated commissioners voted in favor of the motion, with Commissioner Day absent. There being no further preliminaries, we'll start with item number one.
Good morning, Chairman Brooks and Commissioners. My name is Ashley Gungel with the Department of Planning and Land Use. I will be presenting on item number one, which is the La Vista Cemetery Wireless Telecommunication Facility. As you may recall, this project was continued by your commission on August 12th with the direction that staff and the applicant work with the community and identify whether there is a more preferable site, location, or design that can be used for co-location in the future. Today's presentation will discuss a community meeting which was held since the previous hearing for this project, the reasons for locating a facility on this site rather than other surrounding properties, and will provide your commission with options for the proposed facility. A community meeting was held on September 26, 2011, for which 202 tenants, including renters and property owners, within 300 feet of the project site were noticed by the project applicant. The meeting was attended by approximately 20 people from the surrounding neighborhood. While the individuals who previously opposed this project remain opposed to the proposal, there were also individuals present in support of the project. The discussion by the community included concerns over potential health effects, the site being in a non-preferred zone, the sacredness of the cemetery, and the fact that some individuals don't want a cell site on the cemetery. In addition, proponents of the proposal voiced their support for the upkeep being done by the owner of the cemetery, indicated that the flagpole was well designed and in keeping with the cemetery, and that it will provide coverage for their needs. Since the previous hearing, staff has further evaluated the project site and surrounding area to determine if there is a more suitable location for the proposed facility. As seen in this aerial, the project site contains an existing cemetery and the surrounding area can generally be described as residential. All of the properties surrounding the project site are subject to rural and residential zones, which are considered non-preferred zones pursuant to the wireless telecommunication ordinance. As your commission is aware, the ordinance allows for a facility to be located in preferred or non-preferred zones. The ordinance requires findings to be made to site a project in such zones that include harmony with bulk and scale and community character. Staff has analyzed surrounding zones and locations to see if an alternative site would achieve the coverage objectives, as we will discuss in the next few slides. Due to the fact that preferred zones and locations are too distant to provide adequate coverage, the applicant was unable to locate the facility elsewhere. The cemetery location has been determined to be appropriate due to aesthetic and community character compatibility. Alternative sites which were considered include a 75-foot tall monopole located along Shelby Drive to the west of the project site. The reasons for not utilizing this site will be discussed later in this presentation. Another location along Sweetwater Road, located in the city of National City and zoned residential, was analyzed but was determined to be over 100 feet lower in elevation and unable to meet the coverage objectives of the project. A third location, located at the intersection of Sweetwater Road and Euclid Avenue, and a fourth location along Plaza Bonita Road, both located in the city of National City and both zoned major mixed use district, were determined to be located in areas that are much lower in elevation than the project site and too far from the target coverage area to meet the coverage goals of the project. As you may recall, at the previous hearing, there was discussion whether the proposed site could be co-located on the Shelby Drive wireless site located directly adjacent to the southwest property line of the project site. As shown in this image, the Shelby Drive wireless site consists of a 75-foot tall monopole containing existing Verizon and Sprint equipment. This site was amateurized and will be required to be brought into conformance with the wireless ordinance by April 30th, 2013. If the applicant were to co-locate on the existing monopole, a significant increase in height would be required in order to accommodate additional equipment and the fact that the site is 30 feet lower in elevation than the proposed project site. Placing this proposed facility on the existing monopole would allow only 17 months in operation before this facility would have to be brought into conformance with the wireless ordinance. While the existing monopole has been amateurized, staff also looked at the possibility of bringing the Shelby Drive site into conformance at this time and requiring a new camouflage structure, which would allow for co-location of the proposed cricket facility. Based on the wireless ordinance, a new facility would be discouraged where the monopole currently exists. Because this site, as well as the adjacent properties, are residentially zoned, a new facility would be required to meet a setback equal to the height of the structure, or at least 50 feet, as shown in red on this image. Due to the location of the existing residential structure on the site, it would not be feasible to locate a new facility on this site. In addition, there are no existing vertical elements in this area, and a new facility would stand out from the surrounding environment. Based on the inability to locate the proposed facility on any of the alternative sites, staff has concluded that the cemetery site is the most preferable site in the area due to its large size, ability to provide large setbacks from adjacent residential properties, and the existence of numerous tall vertical elements, such as flagpoles, utility poles, a large cross, and various tree types. Staff is providing your commission with three different design options for the proposed facility. Option one is the project as proposed at the previous hearing, which consists of the installation of a 50-foot flagpole with three panel antennas mounted inside the pole. The proposed equipment enclosure would be located adjacent to the existing office building in the foreground and would be painted the same brown color as the existing building. Due to neighbor concerns that the use of a flagpole to camouflage a wireless facility within the cemetery was offensive, staff requested that the applicant provide alternative designs for your commission's consideration. The first alternative to the flagpole design would be a 61-foot 9-inch monopalm. The monopalm would be located in the same location as the proposed flagpole and would consist of three panel antennas mounted at a height of 50 feet and camouflaged within the monopalm. The proposed equipment enclosure would be located adjacent to the existing office building and painted to match. The monopalm would be consistent with the existing palms on site as seen in the foreground of this image. The second alternative to the flagpole design would be a 55-foot monopine. The monopine would be located in the same location as the proposed flagpole and would consist of three panel antennas mounted at a height of 50 feet and camouflaged by the monopine branches. The proposed equipment enclosure would be located adjacent to the existing office building and painted to match. This design would provide for potential co-location opportunities in the future. While the facility may be required to be increased in height for co-location, it will provide a relocation site for the facilities currently located on the Shelby Drive facility, which is required to be brought into conformance with the wireless ordinance by 2013. The monopine would be consistent with the existing trees on site and seen in the foreground of this image. The project site is located in the County Islands Community Plan area, which is not represented by a formal county community planning group. Because the project complies with relevant codes and regulations and the required findings can be made, staff recommends that your commission approve option number one, a 50-foot flagpole, which is consistent with the site surroundings, including numerous flagpoles. If your commission wishes to approve a co-locatable facility on this site, staff recommends that your commission approve option number three, a 55-foot monopine. This concludes our presentation, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Thank you. Very, very good delivery. Appreciate that. Very thorough. Commissioners, any questions, staff? Commissioner Beck?
Just a point of clarification. Did you say that if option number three is chosen, that when the Shelby site expires, when the permit expires for that, that it would be moved over to this site? or that it would be feasible to move it to this site.
Yeah, Commissioner Beck, through the chair, what we're saying is that that would be a feasible option to co-locate upon for that future facility, and we see that as an option for the Shelby Drive. It is higher in elevation, so we see that that's most likely a feasible location.
I see. And when these obsolete sites are revisited from a planning perspective, do they come back to the commission, or is this done in just a ministerial?
The Shelby Drive site is a major use permit. That would have to be modified. That would be brought back before this commission.
Okay.
Any other question of staff? Commissioner Norby?
Just to follow up on that, so I'm clear, because we're kind of looking at this as a single site with a flagpole, and then dealing with the Shelby site later, or maybe some pre-planning for a co-located site with option number three. So the Shelby Drive site expires about 18 months from now. And they, if I'm hearing your presentation right, they will not be able to put a facility on that site, even one that's the same height. Is that correct?
Commissioner Roby, through the chair, correct. The current height of the facility at 74 feet doesn't even comply with the current ordinance requirements. So, yeah, it would be very difficult to make the findings to associate it on that parcel.
Okay, so no grandfather clauses for these facilities. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we'd like to call people for testimony. Thank you, the public. We open it for public testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our first speaker is in opposition, Yolanda Escamilla.
Thank you for allowing me to come today. My name is Yolanda Escamilla, and I'm a homeowner. On the picture that they showed earlier where the cemetery is, my home is right adjacent to the property. The one that's, I think it's the, where Wilma Street is shown, on the corner of Wilma Street, right there on the corner. I want to say, and not only am I a property owner, I'm also an owner of a cemetery plot. I want to submit that you please review the petitions that were originally signed by homeowners and renters, mainly homeowners, because it was my understanding that homeowners had more say-so in this petition process. My opposition is mainly because I saw this as a cemetery, a sacred site that where I and hopefully my other family members would have a place that we have considered a resting place. And when I first bought that property, one of the things that really made me buy that property when I was going and thinking about my own mortality and, of course, my mom's, when she passed away, I thought of where I would want to be. And one of the most beautiful sites is the La Vista Cemetery. And La Vista in Spanish means the view. And one of the most beautiful views you can see there is the sunrise and the sunset. And, of course, right now the big 75-foot monopole is in the way of the sunset. And then this other pole that we're looking at would be in the way of the sunrise. Now, it's not just about a view. It's about also the integrity of the area, which is nature, which we all equate with a cemetery. As a property owner and also as a U.S. citizen, I think we're using the flagpoles everywhere. You see them on the freeways with the cell phone towers, and you almost recognize them now as cell phone towers and not so much the U.S. flag. So when you look at it, you're equating it as a cell phone tower. And to me, it takes a lot of meaning away from what our nation's flag represents. The other thing is that at this meeting that was called for community, it was obvious to me that the meeting was called by Cricket, of course, which it was. But the people that were there, I felt, were not residents because I didn't recognize them. I'm a very active person in the community, and the few people that we did speak to were more in support of the owner of La Vista or the manager and Cricket. And I think that the document that they've attached as evidence does not have addresses of residents on the in the neighborhood, which the documents that I just submitted do. And I think that is a stronger message about what our community feels about. And we can't have, we haven't had more people here because it is a working community. I do have a more flexible position that I can come during my work time. A monopine, the monopines that I have seen are not as camouflaging as you would think, and that would really stick out because that part of the cemetery is the highest, most beautiful area in that whole community.
Ms. Eskill, your time is up, but I'm going to allow you a few more minutes,
okay.
Please.
All right. Thank you so much. It is a very dense community. We have a lot of working class people that are living with family members, with their extended families because of the economy. It is not a very well affluent economy. I also am concerned that the at the meeting that the mayor of National City was also influencing people at this community meeting, which is a Lincoln Acres County, unincorporated, and not part of National City. We are supported by the National City Fire Department, but we give our county tax dollars to them to support. So I just want to say thank you, and I hope you consider not approving this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you for coming back.
Our next, excuse me, our next speaker in opposition is Gilberto Escamilla.
Good morning, Gilberto Escamilla. I'm also, well, that was my wife, so I'm a resident of Lincoln Acres also, and a co-owner of a property. I want to thank the due process that was given to this project. I appreciate it. I'm still in opposition, but I appreciate the process, and I'm glad to live in a place and in a time where citizens can come and make their voices heard. I think it's important. I think we should always keep that, so I want to appreciate that. I fully recognize Micaela, the cemetery owner's right as a property owner to do on her property what she wishes to do, as long as it's in consultation with the community, which she has done. The final thing I just want to say to go on record is I know that your job is very difficult, and I'm not just saying that to make any brownie points, because I fully suspect that this will go through in one form or another. I just want to encourage you on projects like this and support you in really thinking about them carefully. I think all of you, like me, grew up in a time when we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have computers and we lived very nicely. They were not critical. They're still not critical, in my opinion, at least. We make them that way. We give them value. We give them more value than a cross. We give it more value than a flag, and we're making it that way. So when you make your considerations, I would encourage you to remember those things that are critical, which is the sacredness of cemeteries, the sacredness of life. Water is critical. Air is critical, because without that, we're not going to live. But cell phones are a matter, and computers are a matter of convenience. They make our life comfortable. They make our life easy. And I hope that in decisions like this, you consider the critical things and not those things that are gonna make our life easy, because that takes us down a slippery road that will bring this country down before anything else. And that's really all I wanna say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very well
Thank
stated.
Thank you, Mr. Escamilla. We have two speakers in favor of the project. The Cricket representative, Franklin Orozco.
Good Good morning, Commissioners. Franklin Roscoe, representing Cricket Communications, 4031 Sorrento Valley Boulevard. Thank you for the opportunity again to speak before you today. Wanted to include in my presentation the letter that I submitted that basically summarizes what has transpired over the last couple of months. We've been, and also like to thank the staff for allowing us to be able to have this discussion with the Mr. and Mrs. Camilla and Ms. Caceres, who were the two neighbors that opposed this project. As you recall, some of the issues in the last meeting really had to do with the location of the facility, the fact that there wasn't that much public involvement in terms of outreach to the public, as well as the use of a property that is a non-preferred location. Although these were the initial valid issues, I think what we learned in the subsequent meeting is that the main issues revolve really around EMF transmissions from the proposed facility. And we've put together and we've submitted a report from a qualified engineer that looks at these facilities relative to the FCC standards, and those are on the record. As far as the location near a mausoleum, I think staff has already pointed out that the project will be located adjacent to an administrative office. So I think that sort of settles that concern from the other property owner that was here at the last meeting. We believe that the cemetery is, although it's not a preferred location, it is a parcel of land that has enough space surrounding it from the adjacent communities that is the most appropriate and the most feasible location for this type of installation. The proposed flagpole is actually a very slim installation compared to the other alternatives that you've seen. I understand that staff would like to be able to provide an opportunity for co-location for the other two carriers. However, without really knowledge of what their coverage objectives are, it would be difficult to say at this point in time that those two other carriers would want to locate on the same location where Cricket is proposing. Instead, I would submit that, you know, the cemetery parcel is large enough that there would be other locations within that parcel to facilitate the installation and the movement, perhaps, of the two of the carriers onto this location. In closing, basically, what I'd like to show you on these pictures is a comparison between what a typical flagpole looks like, which is on the far left of that picture, another cell site installation with a flagpole, which is actually about a 20-inch in diameter, and what Cricket is proposing, and that is actually an actual picture of a flagpole that was approved in the county and in several other locations throughout the county.
We'd like to ask you to summarize.
Sure. I just wanted to say also briefly that at the meeting, I know that the mayor of National City attended that meeting. One of the reasons was that because aside from inviting the community that are surrounding this parcel, we also invited those stakeholders that have families buried at the site. And the mayor of National City is one of them. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker in favor is Eliza Cisneros.
Good morning. My name is Eliza Cisneros. I'm here on behalf of La Vista Memorial Park, and we are in support. And we're also received report from the community and from cemetery stakeholders that there is really no problem in putting a pole in an area where, you know, there is stakeholders that have their family members there, and they really don't oppose to it. and I'm here to represent the support for it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our final speaker in favor is Hilda Tatoa.
Okay. Right. You request.
I'm
just
sorry,
to
Mr.
be.
Chairman.
Yes. You need to come forward, Miss. Did you submit a slip? Okay. Okay. What I'd like to request is that I allow you to speak, but as soon as you finish, if you'll fill out the slip, please.
Yeah, my apologies for being late. I had to attend another event. First of all, I just want to say that, you know, my grandfather is
well,
there.
First of all, we'd like to hear who you are.
I'm sorry.
And your address.
Manny Flores, and I'm for this this whole arrangement with the flagpole.
Your address.
I do.
Your address. Where do you live?
My address is in San Diego, 2729.
What is it, sir?
I'm sorry, you want my full address?
Yes. These you were not here earlier. These proceedings are recorded, so if someone from the public wants to hear them later, they need to know who spoke and where they are from. You could be from L.A. or somewhere.
I understand that.
Okay, thank
my
you.
My address is 2729 Wardle Avenue, San Diego, California.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. First, I just want to mention that my grandfather is buried there at La Vista. My father is buried there, and my sister is buried there. My mom has future arrangements with La Vista also. When I first saw this cemetery, this memorial park, roughly about almost 20 years ago, as compared to where it is right now, there has been a humongous improvement. So we wholeheartedly want to, you know, give our support to the owners as far as advancing the beautification of this park in whatever manner they see fit. This flagpole is not intrusive whatsoever. It does not even affect the way we feel about this cemetery and our family being there. So if this is an improvement they see fit, then we wholeheartedly support that. Okay, thank you so much.
Sir, we have one of the commissioners like to speak with you. Oh, okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And be sure to get the slip and fill it out, sir. We appreciate it.
Good morning. My name is Josie Flores Clark, and I am here representing Mayor Ron Morrison. He apologizes for not being here. He is at a SANDAG meeting. He's trying to rush over here if he was able to, but he's not. And again, he wanted just to reemphasize that he is for this. He has also seen all the improvements there in La Vista. They're working very, very hard to beautify the cemetery as much as you can beautify a cemetery, but he is very much in support of that. I'm also here for myself. My sister is also there buried in the cemetery. My father is as well. My grandfather and we all have also, my family has bought plots there. And what Micaela and Luisa have done for that cemetery is just incredible. We love, not really love going there, but we enjoy going over there. They have different events there for all of the families. They do go out of the way to help you with finances and whatnot, and they're just really out there for the community and for the people in need. So we are here in support. I am here in support of my family as well, and I apologize. I forgot to give you my address. I live in Bonita, 2728 Paseo Potril, Bonita, and I'm just, La Vista is basically my backyard, so I am in support.
Thank you.
And thank you very much. And I apologize for being late.
Again, it's accepted. At this point in time, we'll close public testimony. Gentlemen, I will start to my right, Commissioner Reese.
Thank you. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. What I think is really interesting is I like Ms. Escamilla and their husband. Originally, Lincoln Acres was part of another city called National City. And it's the only city that I know, only portion of a city that's actually de-annexed successfully from a local corporation. They were a rebellious bunch of people back 100 and some odd years ago when they did that. And that spirit of rebellion is still there, and I think that's really great. The The other thing I concur with her on is the flagpole. You know, if we're going to put up a flagpole five or six places around a cemetery, that's not right. There should be only one flagpole at the cemetery, and that flies at half staff for the appropriate occasion and full staff for the other. And my concern is the attention of the staff is not going to be devoted to the flagpole because it serves no purpose of honoring Old Glory. It serves a purpose of communication, which the flag is irrelevant to. I don't like that. I like the idea of the third option, and from my standpoint, that would be what I would prefer. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And Commissioner Woods?
Yes, I would concur with my colleague. I think option three is by far superior, given we could do actually some pre-planning, which is something that has not been done with some of these polls where they don't create the opportunity for need in the future for co-location. In respect to, they did change the location. I like that. I was one of the people that was very much concerned with the sacredness and the respect of that pole near the mausoleum. In its present location, I think that's a good solution, and I would support that.
Well, one other thing for the record, I did listen to the CDs at the prior meeting, so I'm...
Thank you. Commissioner Beck?
I also support option three. I have a couple of kind of side comments, actually. The folks that came in opposition, both of whom spoke very eloquently, I felt. Just so you understand, when this cell tower issue started coming to the commission kind of ubiquitously a number of years ago, it led to a lot of consternation about trying to make sense of this stuff, try to define some rules that would apply, and so we now have an ordinance. So there has been a lot of thought and consideration given to this proliferation of cell sites. So there has been an attempt to do what you suggest. Also, the gentleman who spoke in opposition, you probably couldn't hear the inside of my head when you were talking, but I was saying right on. I thought you made some very, very significant points about how we should not forget the distinction between values and artifact. And then finally, the gentleman from Cricket, in a way, your testimony kind of reinforced a lot of the criticism that we hear at the commission about the sincerity of the providers to accommodate these community concerns. Now, this commission is probably going to go with the monopine because we're looking at another issue down the road and trying to address a number of problems, and yet you were basically saying, no, we want ours, but we don't want you to consider this future problem that you may have in front of the commission. And to me, that was not insignificant. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Beck. Commissioner Norby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a slightly different view. I think the flagpole is attractive. The 9-inch diameter flagpole is attractive. It's kind of like a beautiful house that flies the flag or an ugly house that flies the flag. It's the flag. And putting on a flagpole that is in scale with a flagpole, not something that's 3 feet in diameter or 20 inches in diameter, I think is the best solution. And the reason that I think that is because I've heard testimony that we're in a view shed here. The very name of the property is containing the word view in it. And I'm concerned about the mass of a monopine. I have no doubt that this site is going to be a site that co-locates a few of these wireless facilities. It's the highest. It's the piece of land that doesn't have any residential buildings on. So it's going to be a co-located site. The question is, what's the best methodology to handle that? And in my mind, if we had three or four flagpoles, one of them higher than the other three or four that flew the U.S. flag, and two or three other smaller flagpoles that flew a county flag or a state flag or some other flag, respectfully lower than the United States flag, what does that present in terms of aesthetics, and what does that present in terms of the view shed as compared to a mono palm or a mono pine? And in my view, I like that better. you know, if it's three or four flagpoles. So I guess the question that I have is, if we go down that path, are we going to end up with three or four flagpoles and then one or two monopines and monopalms anyways? Or is there a way to limit the amount or the number? Because this looks like a really great spot and others are coming down and it's going to propagate with more you know, cellular companies and coverages. So what are our options here in terms of the max? Can we say, you know, three sites, three poles, that's it? How does that work?
Commissioner Norby, through the chair, each one of these sites, because it's a residentially zoned property, will only allow one under the ordinance. Each other one after that requires an exception to that. Generally, the flagpoles, they usually accommodate about three sectors, a third of what the normal cell site carriers would provide. So there would be limitations on using the flagpoles. You'd have to go much, much higher to facilitate each of those three sectors within the pole. So we could do a grouping of flagpoles on the site. I think it would go into much more than two or three to accommodate, say, three or four providers. Cricket Wireless is the one provider that likes to use three sectors. Verizon, Sprint, Nextel, AT&T, they go for 12 panel antennas. So they have a different use, if you will. The faux tree, we feel, would have the same visual impact as the flagpole, if you would, just because of the well distance and the topography of the site. So we see a benefit to for future co-location, the monopine.
So the monopine essentially can handle co-location better than a grouping of flagpoles. Thank you very much for that. And I would support the monopine based on that.
Thank you. At this point in time, the chair is in need of a motion.
I'll move the option three. Thank you, Senator Webb, sir.
There's a motion on the floor.
I was going to do it, but that's okay.
Go ahead. I move to approve with option number three with respect to the monopine.
Second. It's been moved by Commissioner Reese and second by Commissioner Beck that option number three will be accepted by this commission. We still have to do the hand thing again.
I'm in support. Yes.
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 For the record, it was unanimous. All city commissioners voted in favor of option number three with Commissioner Day absent. We'll go forward to item number two.
Good morning, Chairman Brooks and Commissioners. Item number two is the White Star Wireless Telecommunication Facility. As you may recall, this project was approved on consent and later reconsidered at the October 7th Planning Commission hearing to allow the planning group the opportunity to speak on the project. The department is before you today recommending approval of this project.
Almost 1,000 feet.
Today's presentation will provide an overview of the project site and surrounding area, outline the current proposal, and discuss the concerns raised by the planning group. The project site, as shown in this aerial, is located in the community of Boulevard, directly west of Tierra del Sol Road. The project site contains an existing 100-foot-tall lattice tower containing existing Verizon, Cingular, and Sprint equipment. Directly north of the project site are two existing communication facilities and one monopole recently installed by SCG&E. Further north of the project site is the White Star Fire Station and two existing communication facilities, one owned by the fire station and the other owned by the California Highway Patrol. As shown in this slide, all of the properties surrounding the project site are subject to rural, residential, and open space zones, which are considered non-preferred zones pursuant to the Wireless Telecommunication Ordinance. As discussed in the previous presentation, facilities may be located in non-preferred zones with the appropriate findings. Although located in a non-preferred zone, the existing wireless facility owned by American Towers Corporation on the project site can be modified to achieve the coverage objectives rather than constructing an additional facility in a non-preferred zone. The image on the left of the screen shows the existing 100-foot-tall tower in its current state. The image on the right shows the tower with the modifications proposed by this project, which includes the addition of four microwave dish antennas. The electronic components would be installed within the existing equipment enclosure, and new overhead coax cable runs would be installed between the existing lattice tower and equipment enclosure, which would result in no additional ground disturbance. Because the site is defined as a high-visibility facility and is located in a rural zone, the project will be amortized and will be required to be brought into conformance with the wireless ordinance by April 30th, 2013. During the processing of this project, the Boulevard Community Planning Group has raised concerns regarding the radio frequency emissions from the proposed project and other nearby facilities. Additionally, the chair of the Boulevard Community Planning Group submitted a letter addressed to the Federal Communications Commission and the California Public Utilities Commission, which was brought to your attention at the October 7th hearing, stating that service to Verizon customers had recently been cut off due to repositioning of the existing antennas. In regard to radio frequency emissions, as your commission is aware, but for the benefit of the public, the Federal Communications Commission has standards for the levels of RF emissions and provides for a review of wireless communication facilities to ensure that such standards are met. Because of the FCC oversight, the county is preempted from considering environmental effects of electromagnetic radiation associated with RF emissions when reviewing the proposed location of cellular telephone facilities. Although the county is preempted by law from reviewing RF emissions, this facility will be required to undergo routine evaluation for RF compliance when an application is submitted to the FCC for construction or modification of a transmitting facility. The other issue that was raised by the planning group was that, separate from this current proposal, the existing Verizon antennas have been repositioned toward Interstate 8, which has cut off service to the local residents. Staff has followed up with Verizon in regards to the claim. Based on Verizon's records, as detailed in the letter included on page 23 of your staff report, there have been no recent completed nor other pending modifications to the existing antennas on this tower. On January 6, 2011, the Boulevard Community Planning Group voted to deny the project due to lack of testing for RF emission. As previously mentioned, federal law preempts the county from requesting this information. Because the project complies with relevant codes and regulations, makes the required findings, and adequately addresses the planning issues that have been raised, staff recommends that your commission approve the project as detailed in the staff report.
I have a question.
This concludes our presentation, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Thank you. We do have one question of staff from Commissioner Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'd like to understand if there is any standard in our ordinance that addresses this issue of dropped coverage. This is kind of a new item. So in repositioning or restructuring or retrofitting any of these facilities, if existing customers lose their ability to use their phones, is that something that the ordinance speaks to or that you have an opinion about?
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, the ordinance doesn't really specify that direct question, but honestly, the role of these cell sites is to provide coverage to these areas. So when we hear about these complaints, that can go through our department or code enforcement. We'd have to analyze that through the provider. Well, I'm not seeing anything specific in the ordinance about that.
Yeah, I don't recall anything either, and it's because 99% of the time we're adding coverage, and that's the whole point of this. But I now can see, and I'm reading the testimony, and I actually have no reason to disbelieve this. I mean, it sounds very accurate, and it's documented from the users, even though Verizon says otherwise. So this is kind of a problem for me. It's one thing to add coverage. It's another thing that in adding coverage, the existing users then are shortchanged, and that's not okay. So I'm not sure where we go with this, but I just wanted to raise that for my colleagues.
Just to expand a little bit, no, our ordinance doesn't deal specifically with that. Jared's correct with that. But this is actually a civil matter between the provider, in this case Verizon, and the customer. If there is a disruption in services, then the customer can contact their wireless carrier to make a complaint in hopes of the wireless carrier to provide changes to that. That doesn't address what's before the permission today in terms of adding this new facility or adding the new antennas to an existing facility. Again, we feel it's more an issue between the provider and the customers to try to resolve the coverage issue.
I have to respectfully disagree. If we had a facility, just to exaggerate it to make the point, if we had a facility that was going to increase coverage by 80% gross. But in doing so, it dropped 25% of the existing users. And part of our consideration is coverage, and we always kind of do that. We trust the analysis, I should say, that comes to us that says we have to do this here because of the coverage. So I do. It's a relevant issue for me. And then there's kind of a fairness, which is much more subjective, but there's a fairness component to this as well, in my view. And that is, let's say some people fought a cell tower site. It went in anyway. They now have coverage. And then 5 years later, there's a shift like this, and they lose coverage. You know, to me, there's a fairness issue in something like that. I don't know if that was the sequence here. Probably not. Nonetheless, I'm concerned about that.
Thank you, Commissioner Woods.
I'd like to echo my colleague's comments on that. In reading Ms. Tisdale's letter to the FCC and the PUC, I'm really concerned that they have specific examples of loss of coverage, not general examples. They have names and phone numbers and such that can be can be verified. And for Verizon, on their letter back, say, well, nothing changed. Well, something did change. And for me, it goes back to confidence in a provider and on their word and what they say to the public. We see a lot of provider applications, and Verizon being one of the main players. I'd hate for this commission to have a negative feeling about their integrity. So I'd like to see, and I don't know if we can craft or request, I'd like to ask for the Verizon representative, if one is here, to comment on that, on how we can recreate that coverage in that area, that in noting wildfires and the necessity of having that cell service, it's pretty important. So I'd like to bring that on the table also.
Where I can understand this more thoroughly, that's a problem that has, that complaint has nothing to do with what we're considering here. And I agree with my colleagues, it has something indirectly to do how we feel about the operation. And so I certainly agree with them. But that has nothing to do, if we were putting this up, and because we put this up, it caused interrupted services as a due result of this, then it affects this particular item, correctly? Correct? But since what we're here to consider today has nothing to do directly with this other problem, did I state that correctly? Okay. So I'd like for us to get into that, but right now let's consider what's on the table now.
Sure, let's go.
Okay. Having said that, is there a representative here from Boulevard other than Ms. Tisdale? Because you stated you were going to speak as an individual.
Well, also as the planning group chair.
Okay, well, I'll let you come and put on two hats then. I'll let you wear two hats. And you need to tell me when you're through with one and going into the other.
Well, I believe unless I filled it in an error, I believe it said I was representing the planning group on this issue. Donna Tisdale, Chair of Boulevard Planning Group.
Is that what
it does? It just says Boulevard Planning Group, it does.
Okay. You're representing the planning group.
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Ms. Tisdale.
And I want to go on record that our group did not oppose this tower previously until the firefighters asked for relief over concerns with their impacts. And I also want to say,
before you get into that, Ms. Tisdale, you know the drill.
Yes, I know, but it doesn't mean that I my freedom of speech is restricted.
No, I mean your address.
Pardon me?
Your address for the record.
P.O. Box 1272 for the planning group, Boulevard, California, 91905. I also want to reiterate that the major use permit for Verizon is based on service to the local population. That's one of the findings. And that's one of the reasons they got their permits previously. And unfortunately, I brought two of the Brucci Met Tower packets today and left my Verizon packet at home. So I don't have that with me. But in there, in the findings, and perhaps staff can point it out, one of the recommendations for approval is that it provides service to the local community. If we're not getting service from the existing facility, my concern is if they are allowed to proceed with our major use permit, and this is our major concern. If we can get this resolved, I don't think there's going to be a problem from the planning group on this project. We have asked the Federal Communications Commission and the Public Utilities Commission to look into this issue. I have had contact from an attorney from the FCC. They are looking into it. They said it really caught their attention. They have not heard back from Verizon. Why have they not heard back from Verizon? That's a big question. I provided an email this morning that went out. It has the FCC attorney's contact information. I'm asking this planning commission to defer this decision until we find some resolution to this issue. We've had people in my community, actually in my very own neighborhood, who've had Verizon service for over 10 years without a problem. Sometime in July, something changed. No longer have the service.
And that's from July till now still?
Yes.
Okay.
And it really brought it home on when we had the lightning strike fire on September 30th. You know, I was alerted by somebody else who saw it. I rushed out because it looked like it was on part of our property. But no cell signal. I'm trying to call neighbors. I'm trying to call 911. No cell signal, even up on the highest levels where we used to have cell signal. So it has created a problem for us. You know what it's like with wildfires. I mean, I was standing there videotaping it. You feel helpless when you cannot call for help. I mean, I would have to drive 5 miles north now to get signal where I used to be able to get it right there. So they did something, they changed something. The vague letter where they deny that they changed anything, what is that based on? Their say-so? Let's give the FCC and the PUC a little time to look into this for us, please, before you grant them leeway to move forward. Please have them resolve the current issue, current problem, current risk they put us at, excuse me. And I'm sorry, our little community is under such intense pressure on so many different projects right now that it's very difficult to even try to remember to get all my details correct on which project I'm discussing. So please, I'm just asking that this planning group, planning commission, defer this decision until the FCC and or the PUC have time to look into it further, at least get a response from Verizon. Why has Verizon not responded? That's what the FCC attorney told me this week. I talked to her last week and this week. So you have the contact information. That's what we're requesting on this issue. They are not serving the local community. And some of the findings, I just wanted to point this out, they're not correct. There are homes very close, within a tenth of a mile, not 0.5. And the photograph that was shown just cuts out the house immediately north of the fire station and immediate west of this facility. So just for honesty's sake, I wanted to make sure that's out there. So please, just give FCC and PUC time to look into this and respond.
And for the record, as you know, we felt this was, your testimony was important enough to continue this.
Yes, and they haven't resolved it.
No. We're going through that process now.
I truly appreciate that. I really do, especially when you went the extra mile. And I forgot to hand out my two letters, but I believe they were circulated earlier. Do you need them?
Yeah. We have.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming back.
And we have gone and approved other cell facilities, so this isn't, you know.
We know.
Okay.
We've been a part of it.
Thank you. Our next speaker representing Verizon Wireless is Jennifer Nowak.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Nowak with FMHC on behalf of Verizon Wireless. Do you know my address too? It's 4060 Campus Drive, Suite 200, Newport Beach, 92660. There's a few issues to respond to. I can only speak to the letter that was sent from the October 7th hearing. I can't speak to the letters that were received this morning because Verizon hasn't had a chance to address those. As far as the October 7th letter, it was addressing the alleged repositioning of the antennas. The actual RF engineers have done research to that site. In order to redirect the antenna's signal, you would physically need to go to the site and redirect the antenna. And no work has been done at that site since 2007. There was a carrier ad this summer that there was some overlay, and there could have been a couple of days where there was coverage affected by Verizon, but I don't know what other carriers, so I can't speak to other carriers or what they have done. The point of this upgrade is to improve the coverage in the entire area. It doesn't, if you can see the microwave dishes, they're pointing in all different directions. They're not all directed in one direction. I spoke with the actual RF engineer this morning to get additional clarification on it. It's improving the communication from that site to the actual switch. So it will free up the communications from that site. So if there's more customers in a specific area, it'll clog up a site. So the point of the upgrade is to free up the signal so that the coverage is improved.
So you've determined through your engineers that nothing was physically done, but I know enough about this to know that if it is clogged, then you don't get service.
Right, but the purpose of the microwave dishes is to improve the communication from the actual tower to the switch so that the coverage is improved.
So your contention is with the addition of these new elements, it should improve. Now, what I'm concerned about, Ms. Tisdale stated that from July to November, that you've had customers out of service.
Right. And if to allow Verizon to do additional research on the letters that were just received this morning, I can't speak to those yet because Verizon hasn't addressed those issues. Because I just received the letters this morning.
Well, did you guys address the issues to your customer? I'm like you guys now. I see where it does directly
affect
this.
The only thing I can say about that is they're calling into a customer service line. They're not calling in to talk to the actual RF engineers that do the work to the site. So,
well, you know, these are lay people. They call the only number
they have.
And it's up to you guys to direct them where to go. But I think that's unconscionable to be out of service that long. I was on your side since I thought this didn't affect anything else. But Ms. Tisdale, thank you. I see how it might indirectly does, because I know how it can get overloaded. If you're driving down the highway and it's a switch from cell site to cell site, If that new cell site is overloaded, then you have a dead phone. Commissioner Woods.
Thank you for coming down, by the way. I guess I would be in favor. I just wanted to share with you right up front, I'd be in favor of continuing this again,
okay,
until we resolve making the original MUP whole again, and creating service that they had and enjoyed for 10 years. From a safety standpoint, health and safety to me is very important in the backcountry, and that is the vehicle that guarantees their health and safety communication. So I know we have other testimony, Mr. Chairman, but I'd like to go on record that unless I hear something different, I'd like to continue this until we resolve this issue.
I'm feeling the same way, and we've got a number of people that want to speak. I would like to have Ms. Tisdale come back for a moment, please, and if you can just stay over to the side. Thank you, and we do appreciate your coming. And then we've got Commissioner Norby first, then Commissioner Day. My question to you is, you seem to have some information in terms of the levels you are going with the FCC and all of that, and what kind of time have they suggested to you that something might be done on this?
Well, I would imagine a lot depends on Verizon and how they cooperate with their request for information.
But you've already started the ball rolling toward
the October 7th letter.
Right.
Was
and I'm saying that for the public. Yes,
FCC was received that letter October 7th, the same as you, the same as the Public Utilities Commission. And I received a call a week or so ago from an attorney with FCC saying they were looking into our complaint. I had provided her the two statements after I saw Verizon's letter denying that any changes had been made, which seemed in direct contradiction to what we're hearing from our constituents and people that live in the area. And so you know, I provided that information to the FCC attorney, and just this morning I found an email that said that they will let me know as soon as they hear from Verizon.
Well, we're
so
in search
today,
of,
they hadn't heard
if
back.
If we do decide to continue, we have to have some idea of some time. But having said that, while you're thinking about that, can you tell for the record, can you tell us for the record how many people that you know for a fact that has been affected from July to November?
There were at least half a dozen people that spoke at one or several of our planning group meetings, and actually my daughter-in-law informed me last night that there were several other people that were...
more than just one person or one
family.
Yes,
and it's been ongoing. It hasn't been... And this was like an abrupt change in service to what had been very, you know...
Sure, we understand. And I understand how it works now that she explained. Thank you very much, Ms. Tisdale. Unless someone else has a question, Ms. Tisdale. If not, thank you. And wait a minute, not yet. Let's see.
We're done. We're done.
Yeah, we have still Mr. Beck.
I just want to reinforce, if we're going to continue this, which I support, I just want to reinforce a point that Commissioner Wood said, and that is there's a sequence here. The fix to this, in my mind anyway, is not approving the cell tower because then we have more coverage to address the existing problem. Mm-hmm. The issue, the sequence is address the existing major use permit and the obligations under that permit, then come back with a clean proposal for us with a different context in terms of coverage and logic and all of that. So there's a sequence I think that's very important, and the solution to the problem is not approving this until we fix the problem up front.
Thank you very much.
And in my mind, fixing the problem might be that we know for a fact that what she stated was that it was an effect because it got overloaded, opposed to them redirecting.
Well, if the Federal Communications Commission and others who live in that world are doing the review, then that's an honest third party analysis, and we can accept
whatever that might be. Okay, thank you. That's it, the public testimony. Do you have one more?
No, I was just telling you, Mr. Chairman, that public testimony is
testimony,
concluded.
Thank you. Public testimony is now closed. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Commissioner Pallinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Earlier we heard testimony from Mr. Escamilla, which I think was very articulate, saying that cell phones are not always critical, but in this case, I think it goes from convenience to life and death critical. Having been through wildfires, the cell phone is the only thing you can really depend on. So I would like to make a motion that we continue this for 60 days, if that's appropriate.
Commissioner, Chairman Brook, what we could do is do states date specific. We can do December 16th. We don't have the calendar available for 2012 yet, so why don't we, if the commission likes to continue it, we put it to December 16th. If they're not ready at that point, we'll ask for another continuance. By then, we'll have the calendar ready for 2012, and we can set up a new date.
I have one further comment to the applicant.
With the motion first.
I made my motion, but as part of my motion, I want to make it clear that we'd like to have the engineer from, not just a representative, although we appreciate your time. I think we need somebody actually from Verizon to explain the engineering on this situation. My motion is to continue this.
My only comment on the motion, I won't be here on the 16th. So,
okay.
We'll miss you. So I probably won't be here. Commissioner Pallinger is right.
Thank
we will
you,
miss
sir.
You.
It was seconded by me. Commissioner Wood. Please vote. Show of hands.
Yes.
Unanimous with the motion and with Commissioner Day absent, and I'd like to take a little break right now.